You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business talk radio show features the obstacles and challenges that are common to business everywhere around the world. Most importantly, you'll connect with thousands of success stories on how business people overcame these hurdles on their road to success. For any business owner in our listening audience who's facing a particular problem or challenge that you've not been able to solve, you might be concerned about your future, or you're just not satisfied with the financial results in your company. Reach out to us here on the broadcast at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to put you in touch with hundreds of resources that you may not have been aware are available to your business today, many of which are free. For those of you needing a professional level of assistance in your organization, many of the hosts on the broadcast also coach business owners outside of the show. We have visited with thousands of business people, seeing their struggles and challenges and their solutions to these problems. We have a clue what's working and what's not. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us today at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show, and my special guest in studio with me is Phil Roger, and he's from Bicoastal Media. You can find him online, bicoastalmedia.com, and the contact number 360-425-1500. Welcome to the Business Forum Show, Phil.
Well, thanks.
Glad to have you here, and always nice to talk to a fellow media person as well. Before we get started and you talk a little bit about your role with Bicoastal Media, discuss some of your background, because people are always interested in what gets people started in anything they do, and in particular, what got you started in radio and in broadcasting.
Well, you know, for me, I think it goes back when I was probably, even before I was a teenager, I thought those guys that were on the radio were just having the time of their life. Mm-hmm. That was just so great. They were funny. They were witty. I wanted to be one of those guys.
Sure.
And growing up in Seattle, in my case, you know, I thought we had some great stations there. For me, Top 40 in particular, and I thought, you know, just I think I want to do that. And then as I got to college, I met up with a good friend of mine who was at the college radio station. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? Can I come over there? I said, sure. Let's. We set up a time to meet up, and I went in there, and how do I do this? How do I get going? And so I began the process of going, at that time, getting my FCC license. Mm-hmm. And I began doing some air work on the college station there right in Seattle. And then I ended up transferring and going over to the east side of the mountains at Washington State, because I heard that they had the broadcast programming going there. So I transferred and finished out my college career. Mm-hmm. At Washington State, and glad I did. I think it was a great program, great choice. Met some of my best friends over there too. And then from there, it provided an opportunity through their internship program they had to go out and work at a radio station, in my case. And that led the launch to my professional career. And like so many, I started out doing the DJ thing. Mm-hmm. But eventually migrated to more in marketing and advertising later on. And you know, even today, I'm still having fun with it. Radio is still it's a fun medium. And we can bring, we can bring that to the business community and make them a part of it. So that's kind of where, it's kind of where I am today. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you had to get an FCC license. A lot of people who may not be familiar with the behind-the-scenes things in radio today, an FCC license is no longer required.
Right.
Yeah, to broadcast.
To broadcast.
Yeah. So you as a person on the station, you had to get FCC license as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. There were different classes, and mm-hmm. And so I had to get a study guide, you take a test, and I took it in the downtown federal office building. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 weeks later in the mail came this little piece of paper that said I had a license. Mm-hmm. So, you had to do that back then because, everybody who was an operator of a broadcast station had to have a license.
Yeah.
But it's not that way anymore because they changed the rules, and you have one appointed person within the station. It's called the chief operator, and mm-hmm. he's responsible for making sure everything is copacetic, as far as operations. So it's not the responsibility for the individual so much anymore. So, yeah.
I'm curious what shifts or things that you're seeing in markets relative to radio, because you've been in this 35, 40 plus years now. What changes have you seen since you entered the radio market compared to what you're seeing today?
You know, I guess we can start the conversation with technology. It's look what I started out with, a broadcast studio had turntables, you had a control board, cart machines, you know, and all that stuff. Well, turntables are gone, cart machines are gone. Everything is now basically stored on a hard drive. Mm-hmm. Everything from every station commercial, every station promo, the entire music library of a broadcast station can fit on a hard drive now, mm-hmm. because they're, you know, because of their size. So that's all changed. And from my case, I started in the business where even was back when AM radio was still the medium and FM was still hadn't hit its heyday. Sure. That was still about a decade away in my career. Well, maybe about 5 years away, and then you know FM came on, and then so that you know FM became the main thing for people to you know be listening to. We've seen that, and you know of course as it's continued today with the internet and all the multiple delivery channels, whether you know podcasts. I mean, there's just so many things you can do and stuff, and you know you're talking about YouTube and stuff like mm-hmm. that. People, you know, yeah, just
so many different ways to go, isn't there?
There's so many different ways to go, exactly.
Yeah. When you were talking about carts, I was thinking back to when I started broadcasting and radio. My first broadcast with the Business Forum Show was in 1999, and the first station that I had in my network used the cart system.
Yeah.
And so, but I remember creating that, and even the editing for sound files was so much more complicated than it is today. I mean, it's really a snap with the software that we have.
Yeah, and yeah, when you get into production, you know, we moved away from reel-to-reel tape machines, which were the standard workhorse in broadcast for decades, and probably, I want to say, in the 90s, things were transitioning to computer software. Mm-hmm. And all these now, these editing programs are so capable of doing just about everything you want it to do without doing anything destructive to a piece of tape, you know, because you can just hit undo, and just go back and fix it. And it's all
changed. What advice do you have for somebody who's considering, you know, looking at their marketing and advertising and thinking, hey, is radio the right route for me? A lot of people go into a radio market to advertise, and because they're just kind of throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticks. Yeah. They may or may not have a great result with it. What types of things you recommend business people take into consideration with their radio advertising?
You know, it's funny, like radio, along with other means of advertising, if you do it poorly, you can lose a lot of money, waste a lot of time.
Sure.
What I try to tell my people and try to have the conversation at the very beginning is it's all about having a plan. And that plan includes, let's figure out who your target person is. Who do you really need to talk to? Mm-hmm. Radio as a medium, because of the many format choices out there, we can direct the message to specific people that can be a prime target person for your product or service. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we want to go back about setting up a plan that includes a certain level of what we call frequency, making sure the message is out there enough times to make that impression multiple times on each individual listener so okay, that's what that person's all about. And mm-hmm. then to do it in a consistent way so where they just hear that message, I guess. It's the same message, too. That's the other thing, too, a consistent message that they hear over a period of maybe weeks or months.
Yep.
That they and maybe that has to do with maybe having a boiling it down to a positioning statement, mm-hmm. a slogan, mm-hmm. That people know that okay, that's what they're all about. And so mm-hmm. Those are key things to talk about at the very beginning with any business.
Absolutely, and I loved your analogy of the Wright brothers, that you got to go far enough down the path and with enough speed to gain air, and definitely a business has to do that as it pertains to advertising marketing. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show. My special guest is Phil Roger from Bicoastal Media. Of course, you can find him online at bicoastalmedia.com and the contact number 360-425-1500. Thanks for being on the broadcast with us, Phil.
Sure.
You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. If you have any questions or comments for our staff, please reach out to us at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.